जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्रीमद् एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की इस्कॉन बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्री प्रभुपाद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की समवेद गौर भक्तवृंद की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे ऑल गोरीस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरीस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल गोरीस असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज All Guris, All Guris, All Guris to Shishi Guru and Sri Gauranga.
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
The reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, Text Number 35.
Sattvam na chedatar idam nijam bhaved. विज्ञानम अज्ञान विदापमार्जनम् गुणप्रकाशैरनुमीयते भवान् प्रकाशते यस्य च येन वा गुणा सत्त्वं न चेदातर इदं निजं भवेत् विज्ञानम अज्ञान विदापमार्जनम् गुणप्रकाशैरनुमीयते भवान् प्रकाशते यस्य च येन वा गुणा सत्त्वं न चेदातरिदं निजं भवेत् विज्ञानम अज्ञान विदापमार्जनम् गुणप्रकाशैरनुमीयते भवान् प्रकाशते यस्य च येन वा गुणा सत्त्वं न चेदातरिदं निजं भवेत् विज्ञानम अज्ञान गुणत्वं गुणप्रकाशैरनुवीयते भवान् प्रकाशते यस्य च येन वा गुणा सत्त्वं न चेदातरिदं निजं भवेत् विज्ञानम अज्ञान विदापमार्जनम् गुणप्रकाशैरनुमीयते भवान् प्रकाशते यस्य च येन वा गुणा न चेदातरिदं निजं भवे विज्ञानम अज्ञान विदापमार्जनम् गुणप्रकाशैरनुमीयते भवान् ते यस्य च वेवा गुणा सत्त्वं न चेदातरिदं निजं भवेत् विज्ञान अज्ञान विदापमार्जनम् गुणप्रकाशैरनुमीयते भवान् प्रकाशते यस्य च एवा गुणा सत्वम शुद्ध सत्व ट्रांसेंडेंटल न नॉट चेत इफ दातः ओ रिजर्वायर ऑफ ऑल एनर्जीज कॉज ऑफ ऑल कॉजेस इदम दिस निजम पर्सनल स्पिरिचुअल भवेत कुड हैव बीन विज्ञानम ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज अज्ञान बिदा विच ड्राइव्स अवे द इग्नोरेंस ऑफ द मटेरियल मोड्स अपमार्जनम कंप्लीटली वैंक्विश्ड गुण प्रकाशय बाय द अवेकनिंग ऑफ सच ट्रांसेंडेंटल नॉलेज अनुमीयते becomes manifested. Bhavan, your lordship, prakashate, exhibit, yasya, whose, cha, and, yena, by which, va, either, gunaha, quality or intelligence. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada ki. O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your Lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Purport. Again, Prabhupada is in super ecstasy. Long purport. So please bear with me. It is said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna. Unless one is situated in transcendence, one cannot understand the transcendental nature of the Lord. As stated in the Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:29, Atapiti Deva Padambujadvaya Prasadaleshanugrihita Evahi Janati Tattvam Bhagavan Mahimno Nachanya Eko Pichiram Vichinvan. Only by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can one understand Him. Those who are in the modes of material nature, although speculating for thousands of years, cannot understand Him. The Lord has innumerable forms. Ramadi Murti Chukala Niyamena Testan. And unless these forms such as Lord Ramachandra, Narasimha Deva, Krishna and Balaram were transcendental, how could they be worshipped by devotees since time immemorial? Bhaktya Mam Vijanati Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvatah Bhagavad Gita 18:55. Devotees who awaken their transcendental nature in the presence of the Lord and who follow the rules and regulations of devotional service can understand Lord Krishna. Lord Ramachandra and other incarnations who are not of this material world but who come from the spiritual world for the benefit of people in general. If one does not take to this process, one imagines or manufactures some form of God according to material qualities and can never awaken a real understanding of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words, Bhaktya Mam Abhijanati Yavan Yaschasmi Tattvatah, signify that unless one worships the Lord according to the regulative devotional principles, one cannot awaken the transcendental nature. Deity worship, even in the absence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, awakens the transcendental nature of the devotee, who thus becomes increasingly attached to the Lord's lotus feet. The appearance of Krishna is the answer to all imaginative iconography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everyone imagines the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to his mode of material nature. In the Brahma Samhita, it is said that the Lord is the oldest person. Therefore, a section of religionists imagine that God must be very old, and therefore they depict a form of the Lord like a very old man. But in the same Brahma Samhita, that is contradicted. although he is the oldest of all living entities, he has his eternal form as a fresh youth. The exact words used in this connection in the Srimad Bhagavatam are Vijnanam Ajnana Vidapamarjanam. Vijnana means transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality. Vijnana is also experienced knowledge. Transcendental knowledge has to be accepted by the descending process of the disciplic succession, as Brahma presents the knowledge of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is Vijnana as realized by Brahma's transcendental experience, and in that way he presented the form and pastimes of Krishna in the transcendental abode. Ajnana Bidha means that which can match all kinds of speculation. In ignorance, people are imagining the form of the Lord. Sometimes he has no form and sometimes he has form, according to their different imaginations. But the presentation of Krishna in the Brahma Samhita is Vijnana, scientific, experienced knowledge given by Lord Brahma and accepted by Lord Chaitanya. There is no doubt about it. Shri Krishna's form, Shri Krishna's flute, Krishna's color, everything is reality. Here it is said that this Vijnanam is always all kinds of is always defeating all kinds of speculative knowledge. Therefore, the demigods prayed, without your appearing as Krishna, as you are, neither Ajnana Bidha, the nescience of speculative knowledge, nor Vijnanam would be realized. Ajnana Bidhapa Marjanam, by your appearance, the speculative knowledge of ignorance will be vanquished, and the real experienced knowledge of authorities like Lord Brahma will be established. Men influenced by the three modes of material nature imagine their own God according to the modes of material nature. In this way, God is presented in various ways, but your appearance will establish what the real form of God is. The highest blunder committed by the impersonalist is to think that when the incarnation of God comes, he accepts a form of matter in the mode of goodness. Actually, the form of Krishna or Narayan is transcendental to any material idea. Even the greatest impersonalist Shankaracharya has admitted, Narayana paro vyakyat. The material creation is caused by the avyakta, the impersonal manifestation of matter, or the non-phenomenal total reservoir of matter, and Krishna is transcendental to the material conception. This is expressed in the Srimad Bhagavatam as Shuddha Sattva or transcendental. The Lord does not belong to the material mode of goodness, for he is above the position of material goodness. He belongs to the transcendental eternal status of bliss and knowledge. Dear Lord, the demigods prayed, when you appear in your different incarnations, you take different names and forms according to different situations. Lord Krishna is your name because you are all attractive. You are called Shyam Sundara because of your transcendental beauty. Shyama means blackish. Yet they say that you are more beautiful than thousands of cupids. Kandarpa Kotika Maniya. Although you appear in a color which is compared to that of a blackish cloud, you are the transcendental absolute, and therefore your beauty is many, many times more attractive than the delicate body of Cupid. Sometimes you are called Giridhari because you lifted the hill known as Govardhan. You are sometimes called Nandanandana or Vasudeva or Devaki Nandana because you appear as the son of Maharaj Nanda or Devaki or Vasudev. Impersonalists think that your name, your many names or forms are according to a particular type of work and quality because they accept you from the position of a material observer. Our dear Lord, the way of understanding is not to study your absolute nature, form and activities by mental speculation. One must engage himself in devotional service. Then one can understand your absolute nature and your transcendental form, name and quality. Actually, only a person who has a little taste for the service of your lotus feet can understand your transcendental nature or form and quality. Others may go on speculating for millions of years, but it is not possible for them to understand even a single part of your actual position. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, cannot be understood by non-devotees because there is a curtain of Yogamaya
which covers Krishna's actual features. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:25, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, the Lord says, I am not exposed to anyone and everyone. When Krishna came, he was actually present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and everyone saw him. But not everyone could understand that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Still, everyone who died in his presence attained complete liberation from material bondage and was transferred to the spiritual world. Because foolish mudas do not awaken their spiritual nature, they do not understand Krishna or Rama. Avyanati ma muda manushim tanumashritam. Even big academic scholars not considering the endeavors of the acharyas who have recommended devotional service in many elaborate commentaries and notes think that Krishna is fictitious. This is due to a lack of transcendental knowledge and a failure to awaken Krishna consciousness. One should have the common sense to ask why. If Krishna or Ram were fictitious, stalwart scholars like Sridhar Swami, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Veera Raghava, Vijay Dvaja, Vallabha Acharya and many other recognized acharyas would have spent so much time to write about Krishna in notes and commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam.
Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadatisva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. Welcome everybody to the Srimad Bhagavatam class at ISKCON Chicago. And I seek all the assembled Vaishnavas blessings and those who are hearing online too. Because this Srimad Bhagavatam is supposed to be only discussed among the Paramahamsas, those who are free from envy. And especially there are a list of qualities of who can speak Srimad Bhagavatam is given in the beginning. One of them is that he should be learned in all the six systems of philosophy. He should be free from all the six temptations, anger, pride, illusion, greed. And he should have humbly served at the lotus feet of spiritual master and pleased the Vaishnavas. So once someone reads that, then usually think, I'm not for that. I have a lot of it. But the only reason why we dare to speak is by instruction. When we are being instructed to discuss, so on the power of that, because this knowledge is so important for us to understand and apply, we discuss. So other than that, another reason why I seek prayers is because I was given a wrong verse. Another verse, not wrong verse. This is 35. I was told I have to speak on 34. And so all my notes are on 34. Huh? So share that too. Fortunately, both verses speak the same thing. It both are about how when someone neglects to worship and understand the transcendental form of Krishna, then he becomes materialistic, or he cannot progress. And Srila Prabhupada, especially in this verse, he focuses on that how the Lord's form is not imaginary. And I was surprised to find this exact line, because something like Prabhupada also writes in Krishna book, that the Lord comes to end all forms of anthropomorphic and geomorphic conceptions of absolute truth. That some people think God is energy, or God is sun, or this and that. So many conceptions are there. And that's one of the reasons why people get put off from religion, is because there are so many types of religion. There are so many conceptions of God, and seems to be like, what is this? That if it is actually a fact, why there are so many ways to describe it or name it? And there is a survey done that how many religions are there in the world? Any guess? How many different types of religion are there? 200? Unlimited. Any other? Huh? Thousands of religions. So the survey says there are 4,000 religions in this. People practicing, like, it's not like one person's belief, but group. And just in Christianity, there are so many groups of understanding, and each group thinks that I am going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell. Or the Islam, or in the Vedic also, there are so many varieties. And one person in India, he did a PhD on Tilak. We have this Tilak. So if you come to India, there are so many types of Tilak. Somebody keeps like this, somebody has a bindi in the middle, somebody has just one line, somebody has three lines and below, and somebody has this kind of lines, and somebody has some kind of sine wave, somebody else has so many types. So this guy took that as a PhD topic to do just research on Tilak. And they also say that, how do you define a Hindu? Because that's the name that Hinduism is called as. Anybody with a bindu, he is a Hindu. That bindu means dot. Anybody, any kind of sign on his head, you can say him as a Hindu. So this often confuses people, that how can there be so many? But Krishna, he is so unlimited. There are so many ways, these qualities and his pastimes are so unlimited, just like waves in an ocean. There is no end to how we can describe him. And other than that, in different parts of the world, according to the level of the people that they can accept, they start to preach accordingly. Like Prabhupada explains that there was a preacher who went to the coal mines in Europe, and he was trying to preach to them that Jesus is our savior and we should surrender to him. So these coal mine workers asked him, what's his number? Because every coal mine worker has a roll number, has a tag, has a bill on them. And the only way they know who is what is by that number. So when this particular person was teaching that you should surrender to him, they only thought he is another coal worker, but maybe he can give us some more wages. And Prabhupada often uses this example of Dr. Frog, that there was a frog who was a PhD scientist, and he had all the knowledge about the well, and he went on an overseas trip. He went outside the well, and when he saw the ocean, so when he came back, he never thought that there is something like that even exists. Say if a person has never seen an animal, if a child, if a kid, if he has never seen an animal, and you tell him that there is something called as animal, so he can't get it because he has never seen. Or if somebody from India, he has never seen a toilet paper. So what does it have to do? Like Srila Prabhupada, when he came to West, he couldn't see the bucket in the bathroom, and he thought that the bathtub that was there, that is the bucket. So he filled that whole bathtub with water, and he stood outside of the bathtub, and he started to take bath like India, and all the water started to come into the living room. And Sally Agarwal, she immediately came and knocked, "Swamiji, what happened? Why is so much water coming out?" So Prabhupada said, "I'm taking bath." So somebody which we have no experience of, to be able to communicate that is very difficult. And therefore all that Shastra scriptures try to do is somehow bring us up to that conception, although we have in current state no experience of it. And the famous example that is given is that of Shaka Chandranyai. A child has never seen a moon, and the mother has to show him the moon. And the moon is there. Of course, in cities you can't see anything because they're all clouded and foggy, or because of the pollution, it's all covered up. But say if you many devotees are going to Boon for Sadhu Sangha, so hopefully we'll see stars there. So when the mother sees the moon, she wants to teach the kid that look at the moon. So the mother will raise the hand and tell the kid, "See, look at the moon." And the kid doesn't have much vision. It said that when we are born, we are all color blind. We don't have conception of colors. Even that's another thing. If you always seen black and white, then color is something beyond your conception. And then he gets a vision of, say, 20 centimeters or something. the amount of sight the kid needs when the mother is holding the baby while breastfeeding. So that much only he can see when he is really small. And as he starts to grow, his vision starts to go higher and higher. So there is no point for a 1 month kid for the mother to show him the moon, because he can't even see that far. And even when he is 1 year old, when the mother shows him, see the moon, so he may see the tip of the finger of the mother and think that is moon, because what he is seeing is mother's finger. Say, okay, this is what is called as moon, so he may think like that. So what does the mother do? The mother, she takes him to a place where there are some references to show to the moon. Usually it is at Shaka, a tree. So the mother first shows him the tree. Do you see this tree? Because it is something he can touch. Oh yes, this is called as a tree. And then she says, so can you follow the tree going up? And then he starts to look up. Yes, the tree is going up. And then she'll say, at one place the tree is being divided into two parts or three parts. Can you see that? This is a bit, the son or the child agrees, yes, yes, I see the tree is being divided into three parts. And then slowly, slowly she starts to take him higher and higher. And at a place where the moon is between the two branches. And once she takes him there, say, do you see those two branches on your extreme right side on the top? He says, yes, I see two branches. And between the two branches, do you see the moon? A white thing. And then he actually sees the moon. But he may still be thinking that the moon is between the branches, or moon is something that is connected to the tree. But once you grow up, you understand that the moon has no connection with the tree. But the tree is only used to elevate his understanding. Same way, all the conceptions that we may get or explanations that we may get are fall very short of actually describing Krishna. There are verses which say Krishna's teeth, when he was a small child, when Mother Yashoda used to open his mouth, she used to count the teeth. But the teeth used to look like pearls. Or another explanation is given, they used to look like pomegranate seeds. The pomegranate seeds, they are reddish all around and just there is a white part. So Krishna's teeth look like pomegranate seeds. Beautiful row of pearls or pomegranate seeds. But then the acharyas say that explanation falls very short of actually describing Krishna's teeth. Because Krishna's teeth is way more beautiful than what anything that you can describe in this world. And Srila Prabhupada once when he was in Africa. So the devotee is sitting and Prabhupada was explaining that how Krishna is the Lord. And he told that Krishna's color is black. Then the memoirs explain that many of these devotees from Africa, they became very glad. They became very happy. Oh, the ultimate God is actually black. So he's our man. So Prabhupada immediately understood the mentality and he said, but he is not black like you. Of course, no kind of discrimination, but Prabhupada is trying to explain. And once in one of the temples in South Africa, there was a raid, there was an attack, and these people, they came and they started to steal everything, and then they came to the altar. When they came to the altar, the pujari was highly afraid that they'll destroy the deities. It has happened so many places. So as soon as he saw the deities, he said, this is something interesting. Who is this? So this is our God, Krishna. And who is that? So this is our wife or girlfriend, Radha. Oh, this is good. Black man has a white girl. And he left. That you worship actually black God, and black God has a white girl, girlfriend. So, but all these are very limited understandings. Krishna is neither black nor white. And even according to science, all that we see is only at a distance what it appears. If you really go into any kind, zoom in, it's all, the color loses. There is no color. Only at particular distance do we see color. If we zoom too much, all we see is molecules, maybe all these molecules by which color is expressed or the paper. So therefore, a devotee has to be, when he reads the scriptures, it's not that this is how Krishna is. Yes, it is, obviously it is being explained, because this is something seen by a advanced devotee. Therefore, Jiva Goswami in his Sandarbhas, we have these three pramanas: Pratyaksha Praman, Anuman Praman, and Shabda Praman. Pratyaksha Praman means knowledge you gather by seeing around the world. That's why they say seeing is believing. Second is Anuman Praman, is knowledge you gather by thinking, by trying to speculate, by extrapolating. And that is, so therefore there is a saying, I think therefore I am. If you don't think, then you don't get any knowledge. And there is Shabda Praman, that the knowledge that is being heard from the parampara. Or even about physics or anything, you go to a teacher and hear about it. So, and why do we read the scriptures? Because it is Shabda Praman, it is directly being spoken by exalted devotees that have realized. But Jiva Goswami, he says that even Shabda Praman is not the highest. Or Shabda Praman, he is somebody else's Pratyaksha Praman. What is being seen by Lord Brahma is being explained to us. So for Brahma or the demigods, it is not Shabda Praman for them. It is Pratyaksha Praman. They are seeing the spiritual world, like somebody sees Singapore and comes here and explains. But because he has seen it, therefore we are willing to hear it. Therefore Krishna in that Gita verse, Tattva Darshi Tadviddi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tattva Darshina. Because they have seen, therefore they are able to explain to us who have no understanding, like Shaka Chandra Nyai. And therefore when people often kind of poke us, saying that you guys just believe in somebody else being spoken. We are the real guys. We see in believing. And if we understand the scriptures well, this is not just a belief system. This is a way by which we can, because all knowledge begins with faith. If you don't accept what the teacher is teaching in 7th class about how the atom is there and electrons are moving, you'll never be able to actually understand it better and grow. And after a while, if you say, start getting into higher levels of physics, you start to understand that that understanding that was told to me, that there is a nucleus and there is an electron that is going, all that is a very simplistic way of explaining it. And then there is, all that is true, but not exactly real. Because for a layman, how can you explain to him what is quantum physics? And when I was doing my master's in quantum physics, then I started to see that, come on, that's a very simplistic, in fact, a wrong way of explaining things, but to a layman, you can't help much. And then after years and years of studying, you actually get to have an electron microscope in front of you. And why it is called electron microscope? Because it is the microscope by which you can actually see the electrons. And fortunately or unfortunately, when I was studying, I was in front of an electron microscope. And I looked. And when I looked, it was not an electron that was rotating around the nucleus, as we may think. Because unless you understand all those quantum physics well, you don't even understand what you are seeing. It just looks like a blurry something, there is some waves that are being generated, you don't get it at all. But if you have the proper understanding of quantum physics, then what you see makes your hair stand on end. So therefore, unless you serve Krishna, please Him and practice the path of devotion service, we don't get what is this. This looks to be like just like matter, some stone being worshipped. But same thing, when an advanced devotee sees, his hair are standing on end, nayanam gadgada, that is, there is constant pouring of tears from his eyes. And we think, I am crying that I am not able to cry. That no tears are coming, and even in chanting, what gives us ecstasy is not the inner round, it is the outside thing. When those go down, then we feel ecstasy. Oh, in finishing there is happiness, not in doing. Because we are at a very low stage of spiritual advancement, and all these things don't make sense. And I'll end with this nice story from Ramayana. Once Narada, he came to meet Ravan. And Ravana, he welcomed him, and he was quite curious that why it is a Vishnu Bhakta come to meet me. And then he started to say that, you give me all your powers and whatever you have. And the conversation got heated up, and Ravana became very angry, and he took out his sword to kill Narad Muni. And when he actually attacked Narad Muni, the sword passed through Narada, but Narada was not killed. It went through him, something like maybe Harry Potter or all these nowadays mystical movies that are shown. The sword passed through Narad Muni, but nothing happened to him. So he tried again. So again it passed through, nothing happened. So then he was thinking, is this some hologram that is in front of me or something? How is this? So he asked Narad Muni, so what is this? Why are you not being killed? Narada says, because I have a spiritual body. And Krishna says in the Gita that the spirit soul, dhati na pavaka. What is that verse? Nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dhati pavaka. That the spirit soul, the spiritual body can never be killed by any shastra. So then Ravana, he became eager. How can I get that body? I want to have that body. Because this body, you know, no matter how many boons, benedictions you get, somebody can attack it. If I can get that body, I don't need any bulletproof jackets anymore. And Narada said, yes, you can also get that body. But to get that body, get spiritual body, you have to become a devotee of Vishnu. I said, that I cannot do. Is there a way to get the spiritual body without practicing devotion service, without becoming a devotee of Ram? And Narada says, there's no way, that's the only way. So, materialists or demons, they want the benefits or what Krishna is doing, but they don't want to do. Like, therefore Prabhupada always says that the many in India that say they are God and they do Rasleela. And Prabhupada used to say that Krishna did Rasleela at the age of 8. But at the age of 7, he lifted Govardhan Hill. So even if you want to become God, follow some chronology. First lift a hill with your left pinky, and then maybe next year you can attempt. But you don't want to do this, but you want to do that. And now there is a guy, I just read this few days back, there's one man in India, he works in government, but since past many months, he is not coming to the office. So the boss called him, said, why are you not coming? And this man said, I am not coming because I have realized that I am Kalki avatar. I am avatar of Vishnu. And then he said, so even if you are avatar of Vishnu, why don't you come and work? Because Vishnu also works. Krishna goes to Sudharma assembly. He said, no, I am busy doing tapasya, and because of my tapasya, the rains are coming, the government is running. And that person's photo was also published. He is not beautiful, he is like already crossed age of 50 and looks old man. But somehow foolishly, he is claiming to be Kalki. And there's so many like that all over the world that claim to be Jesus, that claim to be the next Messiah, that claim to be Krishna, that claim to be Durga. But you cannot just be there, and according to the scriptures, we'll never be able to become God. What we can become is gods. God with apostrophe S, that we can become Krishna's associate. We can never become Krishna. And Jaranivas Prabhu says, you cannot even become Yashoda or Nanda or Radha, because all those posts are also taken. So not just you cannot become Krishna, you cannot even become one of the close associates of Krishna. But for all of us who we were in the spiritual world, that post is still vacant. Nobody else takes the post. In this material world, if you vacate a place, somebody else comes and takes over that place. But in spiritual world, there is no problem. All our ways by which we serve Krishna is still open, and Krishna is hankering that when will this soul come back and take his position in the spiritual world. So I'll stop here and see if any reflections or questions that devotees may have. Yes, Prabhupada. Oh, mic.
Hare Krishna, Braj Mahaprabhu. Thank you for blessing us with your presence after 11 years. Me and some couple of devotees, Patrick, you remember him? We were talking about you recently, actually a month ago, and we were actually missing your presence. So thank you for blessing us with your presence after so long. So I guess my comment and question is related to this word in the verse, vigyan and gyan. We hear that a lot of times in the Gita, the words gyan and vigyan.
Yes, yes.
Gyan means more or less information, and vigyan means transformation. So my friend, and Radhanath Maharaj also made a similar point, but my friend made a good analogy. He says that when somebody goes to a karate class, karate, like martial arts, they have controlled environments, tournaments. But when that person gets in a real fight, they forget all the cool karate moves. What happens to the cool karate moves? So usually when we study the sastras, and when people respect us, we can remember so many beautiful shlokas, but when people don't respect us, the only thing we can remember is curse words. And so Radhanatha Maharaj, she said the same thing in a lecture on YouTube called Who is a Vaishnava? There's a three-part lecture series, Who is a Vaishnava? He says that anger bewilders the memory. That means that all the thousands of lectures we heard about Bhagavatam, Gita, all the prayers we offer, bewildering memory means we forget it all. And that's why my favorite pastime is of the three modes of material nature is Bhriga Muni, when he tests all three guna avatars.
Yes, yes, yes.
He ignores Brahma to test whether he was a supreme controller. When he ignored Brahma, Brahma wanted to curse him, but he was like, you're my son, I'm not going to curse you. So Bhrigu said, you're not the controller. Then he tested Lord Shiva. He insults the Lord Shiva. You're filthy, you're dirty. Yes. I don't mean to be mean, but you need some Listerine. Not a sip, not a swallow, but the whole damn body. Essentially, he said, he just insulted him. So Lord Shiva wanted to kill him. And so Parvati saved Bhrigu Muni, and Bhrigu said, you're not the supreme controller. Then he tests Lord Vishnu. He tested him by kicking Lord Vishnu. And Vishnu did what we wouldn't do. He started glorifying Bhrigu Muni, and this brought tears to Bhrigu Muni's eyes. And he said, Lord Vishnu, you're the supreme controller. Because although Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are known throughout the universe as controllers, he saw that they were being controlled by anger and rage, whereas Lord Vishnu is the controller of anger, all the modes, lust, anger, greed, pride, envy. So my question is related to this pastime is that I appreciate that Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the maintainer, and Shiva is the destroyer. So we see in our spiritual life that creating spiritual enthusiasm, that's easy. Destroying spiritual enthusiasm, even easier. Maintaining spiritual enthusiasm, that's hard. Creating relationships, easy. Destroying relationships, even easier. Maintaining relationships. So Vishnu is the maintainer, and he teaches us how to maintain our good character and personal integrity. So my question is that in our spiritual life, sometimes we're not always able to maintain our relationships, but we are able to maintain our peace of mind and maintain our good feelings toward devotees. Like Prahlad, he wanted to maintain his relationship with Hiranyakashipu, but that was impossible. But at the same time, he maintained his faith in Krishna consciousness, maintained his character, and maintained his love. So in our life, sometimes we want to maintain our relationships, but we also want to maintain our faith in particular aspect of Krishna consciousness. But that faith that we have may not be the same as some other, but that may ruin our relationship. So what is the person to do and if they're in that dilemma? You know, because sometimes, oh, if you don't maintain my faith, then the relationship is off. So, but what is the person to do? I mean, like, she would be like, whatever, I forget you, I'm maintaining my faith. Or what is, sometimes we're in that dilemma, so what is the person to do?
With Prahlad, love sometimes is to do what is most beneficial for the other person. Not just to keep him in our good books, or we have to be good. So then that love is actually selfish. But when love is selfless, like Prahlad's love, he all the time wished well for Hiranyakashipu, but the way he could do the best welfare is actually to tell him that you are wrong. And even our parents, our parents might have given us a lot of goodies, good things, but also they chastised us, they corrected us. And after 20 years, you'll thank him more for their corrections than for their chocolates. Because they were well-wishers, they wished well for us. And at that heat of the moment, you may see this person is... But if the intention is right and you express it properly, those same people will actually come back because you never broke that relationship, you are actually caring in that relationship. And one of the things that devotees sometimes get into is, okay, let me compromise my bhakti so that I can make him feel equal. But that doesn't work if the selfishness is being termed as selflessness. It is you that also wants to go to the rugby match and you just say, show it as a compassionate activity so that I can make friends with him. So therefore one also has to have contemplation along with cooperation. Because otherwise in the name of cooperation you may actually lose your Krishna consciousness. Then that will be the more harm than good for both of you. And if you have to encourage him, see what is his level and accordingly try to see. If you can take directly Krishna consciousness, then let him take, or let him appreciate one of the aspects of Krishna consciousness. But that intention is always to do well. And yes, even with the best of the intentions, whole Bhagavatam is a story of misunderstandings. Right from Parikshit to Lord Krishna, everyone was misunderstood. But because their intention was right, ultimately, if that person didn't appreciate, the world appreciates, or Krishna himself appreciates. Else, it is said, the definite way to be unhappy in this world is try to please everyone. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Vah, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Nice to have you here. Prabhu, I have a unique question, which is a little bit, it's related to the class, of course, but a different angle. So I can ask it, but if you don't want to get into it now and take some other questions, that's fine. I was curious, what is the current mainstream scientific understanding of the creation? Formerly it was Darwin and evolution, and then it shifted more into quantum theory and string theory. I was just curious if you keep up with that and how, as devotees, we defeat
that.
Yeah.
Well, I stopped studying quantum physics 12 years back. So I'm as naive as others. But I do keep in touch what are they up to, because it makes me laugh. Sometimes they say black holes don't exist. Sometimes say this, say this. But what I gathered is that even this whole field actually came up from the Vedanta, from our own understanding in the Vedic tradition, that the absolute truth is person and also energy. And that's from where Schrodinger and all of them, they came with this wave-particle duality, because of which actually everything is there, microelectronics and all this is because of. And Prabhupada in fact says that when he speaks in third canto, that this subject matter is of great research value. And this first time I'm speaking in the mic, that when I was actually there studying, trying to see what are they up to, because I had that maybe they are speaking truth. But after a while I saw, being associated with Fermi labs and all that, that most of it is actually funding game. It's a funding game. How you can attract funds. It's all about money, like in any other field. It's actually not a real quest for truth. So that's when I stopped and really took to Krishna consciousness. So they are trying. It's not that everybody is like that. In any place there will always be fanatics, seekers and profit makers. So they are also trying, like so many of the rishis have been trying for years to try to understand. But there has not been much progress. What you said, string theory, this theory, they are just trying hope against hope to find that one particle called as Higgs boson, so that which, because we say of gravity, but where does gravity come from? No one knows, no one can explain, because everything is rested on that. Like we say, whole universe is resting on Ananta Shesh. So they also say everything rests on that gravity, and they try to find, and that's why that name came, God particle. But they're not able to find it, because it is not a material endeavor by which you can get to absolute truth. So people have to realize and take to a deeper way of looking at it. No matter how much you search for a wallet in this room which was lost in downtown, you will never get the wallet. Because where did we lose that wallet? In downtown. And you are searching in this temple hall for the wallet. That's what they are trying to do. Prabhupada says, they are trying to search where there is light, not where it is lost. Yes, they can see this world and they are trying to search. Just like a child in the womb is trying to know where is the mother. It can't know because mother is everywhere around him, around her. So you'll have to ask somebody who is more in touch with exactly where they are up to. But I keep in some in touch, because the terminology and all that, if you're not keeping very much, then you forget, you tend to forget. Keep Rupji.
Thank you, Prabhu. So you explained that there are three kind of paths, Pratyaksha, Anugama, and
Pratyaksha, Anuman, and Shabda.
Shabda, Prabhu. Shabda. So you were stressing that, that was a really good point, that our path is like more Pratyaksha than Shabda, because someone has seen that truth, and then he's explaining the Shabda. So Shabda is coming after seeing. But when we see the Bhagavatam and everything, Shukdev Goswami explaining to Parikshit Maharaj or Brahma, getting the instruction of tapa or anything we are seeing in Bhagavatam is just by Shruti, just by Shabda. That makes the things which you say is difficult to digest. Can you elaborate that point? How?
I am saying, Jiva Goswami says that for us it is Shabda, but for those who spoke, it is a real experience that has been relayed to us. So therefore he says that unless, that's why it is called science of self-realization, that with real eyes you actually see Krishna. Govinda Mali Purusham was spoken by Brahma when he saw Krishna after the Brahma Vimohan Leela, when he actually understood what is Krishna. Then he spoke it because he was able to see. Vyasadev, he saw in the third chapter, I believe, he sees Krishna with all his energies and with Maya next to him. Maya Javanika Channam. So they have seen the truth. That's why Krishna uses that word, Tattva Darshi. And when we see their life, like, why do we have so much faith in what Prabhupada says? Because we see Prabhupada's life is so selfless and so amazing. So their life and characters gives power to their teachings, what they are saying. So therefore we also understand that when Kunti is speaking, for us yes it is Shabda, but for her it is direct realization. So therefore they are called as realized knowledge. It is not just heard, I have heard like this. They have realized. And that opportunity is with each and every one of us. If we follow, then it says, Yasya deve para bhaktir yata deve tata guru, tasya hi kate tahi artha prakashante mahatmana. That all the meanings of the Vedas will shine in one's heart if he just has faith in Guru and Krishna.
For the explanation. So for us, we have to depend upon the Shabda and we have to hear our processes. And by hearing in the verses as Shriyam Shruti Bhakti Udasati Vibho, so by hearing that process, we can understand the truth. And then we can get the admission into that absolute realm.
Yes, yes, yes.
Otherwise,
like even Pratyaksha and Shabda, based on Shabda, when we see what is happening in this world, we actually get realizations that how somebody is suffering and how the beauty, the flower grows. When we see that Pratyaksha, that beauty of the flower, it shows us that Krishna is beautiful, Krishna's nature is beautiful. So all the what we see, what we think has to be based on Shabda. then it, that pratyaksha and anuman also helps us to go closer. It's not just I believe, but I don't try to see the world according to that belief. We have to also try to see the world according to that understanding which we are getting on the, in the Bhagavatam. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says there are three stages of hearing. The first is Shravanam. We hear from the scriptures. The second is Mananam. Is we contemplate, we try to understand what does it mean. And third is Nididhyasa, where we actually try to apply or see the world according to that. And he also says that when you try to apply in that knowledge that is there in the scriptures, that one should not become angry or one should not control his senses, when one will see that one is not able to do that. So then you become even more eager, I didn't get it right, let me hear properly again. That else if a child is told these are Newton's laws, I'll say okay, I know Newton's laws. But when you tell him to apply in a problem solving, then he'll say, actually I don't know Newton's laws, let me understand it properly. So unless we try to apply, our hearing becomes very like rhetoric. Oh, he's speaking, I know all this already. But when you try to actually apply, you see it's not so easy, let me be more eager, more humble to receive it. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's not just by being more eager and more humble, we actually able to apply. He says, fourth step in hearing is Vandanam. He's coming and begging Krishna, Krishna, I'm not able to do this. Even being humble, being eager, it's not happening. And the devotee comes and begs Krishna for that realization, for that vision. And he says, and after Vandanam, then the knowledge becomes, else knowledge usually makes a head heavy. But this is not a head heavy knowledge. This is supposed to make a heart heavy knowledge. That your heart should be imbued with feelings of gratitude and meekness. And when we come, that's why Vandanam is so important. In fact, most religions, the main aspect of their religion is prayer. And somehow we neglect that. Even in our chanting, if it's not in a prayerful mode, then the chanting doesn't have much result. So that Vandanam is an important aspect which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. Then the hearing process is complete.
You quoted that verse, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir, and you also stressed the importance of a Shabda from Guru. For example, if a Guru is giving some instruction to do this, and the disciple is just following his instruction, and he is not focusing more on Shruti or Shabda for other any other things, does the success will come to him, or he has to make a separate effort?
I think Guru also has told you to hear, right? For us to hear also. So we have to say, that's why it is called as Pratigya. Every word of the Guru has to be, is important. He, instruction wise, he must, like it is said, sometimes disciples go to Guru, say, Maharaj, any personal instruction for me? And usually the spiritual masters will say, all my instructions are in my lectures or in my books. So we cannot be selective in following the instructions. That something that is personal. This Bhagavatam class is Krishna's parampara's personal instruction to each one of us. If it is spoken in the proper channel, it is personal instruction to each one of us. What to speak of that Prabhupada, when that postman told Prabhupada that why are you printing this one page article BTG, why don't you write books, because books are there for more time, people just throw away magazines. Prabhupada took that as a personal instruction from his guru, that my guru is instructing me. He didn't say, oh, good idea, I'll work it out. He saw it as guru's instruction. So we have to follow all the instructions, that we have to make the service efficient, but doesn't mean you hurt Vaishnavas in the name of service being efficient, because guru also tells you should respect the Vaishnavas. But in the name of respecting Vaishnavas, you neglect the service. So that's why spiritual life has to have a lot of patience and utsaha, nishcha, dhairyat. Else it is not just one thing that personally that is given, it is everything. Basis is chanting our sadhana. Okay? Thank you. Yes, Karunanidhi Prabhu.
Of course it is out of time. So because the discussion came about the evidence, Shruti and everything. So here Madhvacharya, what he is telling is, if one carefully examines the 10 kinds of evidence, namely pratakya, anuman, arya, upamana, arthapti, abhava, sambhava, ahitya, and chesta, one will find that all of them are contaminated with 4 defects of material life, like cheating, imperfect senses, illusion, and mistakes. Therefore, of all these revelations, Shruti is considered to be superior for it is above the 4 defects. This Shruti is therefore the root of all evidence. This is quoted from Tattva Sandarbha Sarva Sambhadim. So, that is why, so, out of all evidences, Shruti is considered as the most.
Yes.
And also to support this statement, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he said in Madhyam Lila, see, he said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, although there is other evidence, the evidence given in the Vedic version must be taken as foremost. Vedic version understood directly are the first class evidence. Conch shells and cow dungs are nothing but the bones and the stool of certain living entities. But according to the Vedic version, they are both considered very pure. The Vedic statements are self-evident. Whatever they state must be accepted. If we interpret according to our own imagination, the authority of Vedas is immediately lost. So that is why Mahaprabhu said also what he was telling. Veda is telling that whether the cow dung is pure, conch shell is pure, although it is a bone.
Yes.
Yes. So you must accept Vedic authority.
Sure.
Shruti is the best things.
Any other? So we'll end here. Thank you very much for your kind attendance. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.